hearty greetings and happy Friday to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up.
Russia will host New Zealand in Saturday's opening match at the FIFA Confederations Cup football tournament. The game will be played in St. Petersburg in the 68,000-seat Krestovsky Stadium, which will also stage the final on July 2nd. The eight-team competition features the champions of FIFA's six regional confederations, along with reigning World Cup champion Germany and 2018 World Cup host Russia. The teams are split into two groups of four. Group A has Russia, New Zealand, Portugal, and Mexico. Group B has Australia, Chile, Cameroon, and Germany. World football's governing body, FIFA, is also awarding $19 million in prize money for the teams competing in Russia. The winner will receive $5 million, the runner-up $4.5 million, and the third-place team $3.5 million. The fourth-place team gets $3 million, while the teams that place fifth to eighth get $2 million each. The FIFA Confederations Cup is staged by the World Cup host in the year before football's biggest international tournament. It's described as a dress rehearsal for the World Cup, a way for organizers to test venues and operations ahead of the soccer showpiece. In St. Petersburg on Friday, FIFA Secretary General Fatma Samora said Russia is well prepared to host the Confederations Cup, and she expressed hope that attendance at matches will be high.
We can expect a good and one of most probably best competition ever displayed for the FCC here in Russia. And as of today, the FCC attendance is estimated at 480,000 people. So already 65% attendance rate has been achieved. But we also know that the practice here is of last-minute purchasing of tickets.
FIFA's first female secretary general, who is from Senegal, also said an anti-discrimination monitoring system will be implemented during the Confederations Cup.
The first time FIFA is implementing one of its events, an anti-discrimination monitoring system, the same one already featured in some matches of the FIFA World Cup qualifier. And for each of the 16 matches of the FIFA Confederation Cup, we will deploy trained observers. They will be responsible for flagging issues of discrimination and for escalating them to the match officials.
Meanwhile, earlier this week, Human Rights Watch issued a report in which the group said it had documented cases where workers building venues for the 2018 World Cup in Russia were not paid, were made to work in dangerously cold conditions, or had suffered reprisals for raising concerns. At the news conference in St. Petersburg, Alexei Sorokin, the CEO of the 2018 FIFA World Cup Russia Local Organizing Committee, had this to say.
We cannot confirm the position expressed by Human Rights Watch. There has been an excessive 70 inspections on stadium construction sites. The conditions that workers experience have been closely monitored, and we did not see any infringements or any negative signals that we could use on our watch list.
That's Alexei Sorokin, The CEO of the 2018 FIFA World Cup Russia Local Organizing Committee, and he was speaking in St. Petersburg, Russia. As I mentioned, St. Petersburg is where Russia will host New Zealand Saturday in the opening match of the FIFA Confederations Cup tournament. After inspecting the Krestovsky Stadium, New Zealand's head coach, Anthony Hudson, says he's satisfied with the condition of the pitch.
You know, the conditions are going to be the same for both teams. It's certainly, at the end of the game, it's not going to be something we're going to be using as a reason for anything. So, look, I can assure you, our team has played on much worse in our journey to get here. So, you know, we've played in very, very hard pitches, in extreme heat. We're very, very used to adapting to the conditions. We're good at that.
One of New Zealand's top players is striker Chris Wood, who is based in England with the club Leeds United. Chris talks about New Zealand's preparations for the FIFA Confederations Cup.
Well, playing against top opposition that we have, it's put us in good stead for these games. These are top quality oppositions we're going to come up against over this tournament. We've played a team that was 28th in the world in Northern Ireland, had a great European competition last year. Took them all the way in the game, and it was very close. So we're putting ourselves in good stead, ready for these games.
That's New Zealand striker Chris Wood, who is getting ready for the team's opening match Saturday against Russia in the FIFA Confederations Cup tournament. And Chris was speaking in St. Petersburg, Russia. From St. Petersburg, let's go to Abidjan, Ivory Coast, where about 1,000 fans and 20 of his international teammates paid their respects Thursday when the body of former Ivory Coast international Cheick Tiote was brought home from China. Tiote collapsed and died June 5th during a training session with his Chinese club, Beijing Enterprises. He was 30 years old. Among those on hand at Abidjan Airport was Tiote's former Ivory Coast teammate, Kader Keita. The 35-year-old Keita wore a white T-shirt with the words, "Rest in peace, Cheke," on it. Keita said, and I quote, "He was like a little brother, like family, and we're here today to show that we shared everything." Meanwhile, Manchester City striker Wilfred Bony was also at the airport in Abidjan. Bony said, and I quote, "I have come here for my brother, my colleague, my friend. Words cannot express the depths of my sadness."
The Voice of America. VOA.
I'm Manny Pacquiao, the fighter from the Philippines. When I start boxing, I'm inspired to fight because of my family. We're very poor. When I'm in training for the big fight, I train hard. Get up in the morning, 6 o'clock, jogging, 1 hour. After that, rest. I go to the gym, we do training. Sometimes I want more. I train hard. I used to train in karate. Right now, I'm inspired to fight for the honor of my country.
Filipino boxing star Manny Pacquiao will be back in the ring July 2nd when he fights local favorite Jeff Horn of Australia in Brisbane. At stake will be the Pac-Man's WBO welterweight title. The 38-year-old Pacquiao has a professional record of 59 wins, 6 losses, and 2 draws. The 29-year-old Horn has had 17 prize fights. He's won 16 of them, with 1 draw. Now, Horn was born in Brisbane, and he'll be fighting the Pac-Man in Brisbane's 55,000-seat Suncor Stadium. According to our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moweta, ticket sales for Pacquiao Horn are on a record-setting pace.
40,000 tickets has been sold. The venue holds 55,000. Pac-Man has a huge fan base that will come from everywhere. Mind you, he's fighting a school teacher now in Jeff Horn. Fought nobody. But this will be the biggest boxing match ever in the history of boxing in Australia. Looking back, the biggest number for boxing in Australia was 38,000 when they came out for Azuma Nelson against Jeff Finnick. That was 25 years ago for WBC Super Featherweight title in Melbourne. They're breaking the record when Manny Pacquiao goes against Jeff Horn. It's a fight that really fight fans don't care for, but in Australia, it's a big deal.
Mayweather-McGregor, August 26th. Shortly after that, on September 16th, Canelo scheduled to take on Triple G, Gennady Golovkin. What effect will the Mayweather-McGregor bout have on Canelo-Triple G?
Well, it depends on the outcome of the Floyd Mayweather-Conor McGregor fight. If that fight just becomes a one-sided, boring fight and Mayweather goes there and knocks out McGregor, people will feel ripped off. It may not affect the Canelo fight because the boxing purists said already, forget this Conor McGregor-Mayweather fiasco because that's not boxing. I don't really think it's going to affect Canelo-Triple G fight because that is the fight fans have been talking about for years, and that fight is going to happen. Papers are signed. It should not.
Tactically, Namdi, how do you see Canelo-Triple G?
Canelo will have to back up Triple G, establish his power, establish his big monster right hand. Let Triple G know that you cannot go toe-to-toe with me. Break Triple G down with the body shots. And he can do it. What we call barbecue, stay in the ribs, you know. Why did you think Chavez was just unable to do anything, you know? And Canelo can do it. Canelo is young. Canelo is strong. Canelo, this fight right there, I may even put my crib on Canelo, Sonny.
Thanks, Namdi. Put your crib on Canelo. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moueta.
Hey, g'day, mates. Remember me? This is the old sports emperor with a red-hot listening tip. That's right. Give a listen to my pal, the bright and lively Sunny Man on the sunny side of sports, right here on the Voice of America.
Hello, Africa. Dr. Larry Zamoje here, Chairman, Chief Executive, Sports Radio 88.9 Brilla FM. Keep getting sporty sunshine with Sunny Young. We all do at Sports Radio 88.9 Brilla FM, broadcasting out of the cities of Lagos, Abuja, Kaduna, and Onitsha in Nigeria, as well as the World Wide Web on www.brillafm.net. I tell you this. It's always a thrill, yes, a thrill, to remain on the sunny side on Brilla with Sunny. Keep listening, Africa.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Turning to motorsports, Uganda will stage a big international auto rally at the end of this month, as we hear now from reporter Samson Omale.
The 2017 African Rally Championship contention will head to Uganda for the fourth round after almost 2 months' break. This year, the Pearl of Africa Rally is expected to hold from June the 30th to 2nd July. The two-day event is expected to cover a total competitive distance of 212.64 kilometers. Jeff Kabagambi, ARC Riley Clark, says safety is of the first concern to the organizers.
Actually, safety is the first for motorsport. The lead is safety. However much others claim that it could be dangerous, but it's not, because others wouldn't be here.
Former Uganda National Rally Champion Arthur Bilich is excited at the opportunity to compete with other drivers from other parts of the world.
It's very good to gauge ourselves with good international drivers, and I think this is a great opportunity for us to gauge ourselves with these top African drivers. And to be honest, we are ready for them. And they should be ready for us to give them a run for their money.
In athletics news, Athletics Kenya have invited over 200 athletes for next week's national trials ahead of the IWAF World Athletics Championship set for between August the 4th and 13th in London. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Music Time in Africa offers splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. From the classics of yesteryear to the hot tracks of the moment. I offer you what you need. Free ear therapy and mind massage. Join me, I'm Heather Maxwell, for Music Time in Africa every Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 2000 and 2100 UTC.
Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Happy Friday and sporty greetings, Andrew.
Very happy Friday to you as well, Sunny, and very sporty greetings.
Welcome back, Andrew. What is trending in the sports world on this Friday?
Well, we talked about Mayweather versus McGregor yesterday and what a big hype that is for that fight. Well, we have a bit of another fight on our hands, LeBron versus Draymond. Now, this is post post NBA Finals. Of course, that was a bit of a fight, albeit a lopsided one, of course, favoring the Golden State Warriors. But this, they're having a little bit of a social media tussle. Now, this story goes back to 2016, when LeBron and the Cleveland Cavaliers won the NBA Final, and he, in the parade, wore a shirt that said, Ultimate Warrior. Which is a WWE wrestler. LeBron wore a shirt that said Ultimate Warrior. It's a WWE wrestler, but a lot of people said it was a very thinly veiled reference to the Golden State Warriors and that they were the ultimate champions over them. So that was a bit of a controversy a year ago. Flash forward to yesterday when the Golden State Warriors had their parade and Draymond Green wears a shirt that says Quickie on it, and it has the Quicken Loans Arena logo on it. Of course, Quicken Loans Arena is where the Cavaliers play, and Quickie referencing how quickly they were able to make good work of the Cleveland Cavaliers and win the NBA Finals. So that's the back and forth backstory between this. So they put up a picture of this shirt online. Draymond puts a picture of this shirt online, and LeBron responds, puts up a picture of the shirt, and makes a joke that we can't say on air, but referencing the Quickie shirt that he's wearing. So that gets a lot of attention on social media. But then we see other NBA players start to like that post. So we see Russell Westbrook and James Harden actually like that post on Instagram. In response to that, Draymond Green puts up a post where he said that the Warriors made LeBron go bald because after the finals, LeBron shaved his head. So Draymond's response was, well, Dub Nation, or the other, you know, it's a way of referring to the Golden State Warriors, one of their nicknames, said Dub Nation made you go bald. So a little bit of back and forth. Not clear if this is the beginning of a social media war on the NBA between these two players and if anyone else is going to jump in, but at least shots fired for the moment between these two.
I know in the past you've mentioned how LeBron will take the social media breaks. Maybe now he'll, I don't know. We'll see what he does, I guess.
Well, that's why I think a lot of fans were so excited to see this back and forth, because LeBron is back on social media and he did post a video where he was actually singing along to a rap song where he showed off his newly shaved head. So the fans are excited to see him back. They're excited that there's a little bit of gamesmanship going on between these two. But like I said, we'll see if it escalates or if this is just a one-time back and forth between these guys.
Andrew, you mentioned Russell Westbrook and James Harden, and they are two of the leading contenders for the Most Valuable Player Award, which will be handed out at the end of June. Typically, it's given, awarded during the NBA playoffs, but this year the NBA will have an awards night. Next week will be the NBA draft, and then about 4 days after that, in New York City, the NBA Awards, and I'm guessing Westbrook will probably win that award, Andrew.
You know, if social media is any indication, they've given Russell Westbrook this award months ago, so he's already had it according to social media. Ever since he beat Oscar Robertson's record, I think that sealed it for a lot of people and said if he's not the MVP this season, we don't know who could possibly be or what you'd have to do to be the most valuable player other than having such a tremendous year that he had.
As you know, Andrew, James Harden does win my award for best beard in basketball.
Yes, yes. And that's always a source of chalk on social media. Absolutely.
What else is trending out there, Andrew?
So we have a story about Cristiano Ronaldo. Apparently he's being investigated for tax evasion in Spain. And if that sounds familiar to our listeners, that's because Lionel Messi was brought up on tax evasion charges not too long ago. So a lot of jokes fans saying, well, just because Messi did it, Ronaldo had to do it too. They're always chasing each other with the awards and things, so that's why he had to go and do the same thing to try to keep pace with him. But on a serious note, apparently Ronaldo not happy about the support that he's getting, or lack of support, I should say, really, from Real Madrid, and he's threatened to leave the team and go somewhere else. Now, it's not clear if this is just an empty threat, if this is actually going to happen. In fact, many people saying, looking at the contract that he has, he's signed with the team through, I think, 2021, so it's unlikely that he'll be able to get out of that. Maybe he's doing this just to kind of drum up publicity or support or sympathy. Who knows? But people already speculating if he does leave, where he might go, how that might work out. So very interesting stuff. We'll have to follow that and see if he does indeed try to make a break from Real Madrid and how that tax evasion case progresses as well.
We'll see maybe if Ronaldo is asked about his finances. In Russia, he did travel with Portugal to Russia for the FIFA Confederations Cup tournament. Ronaldo and Portugal are the reigning European champions. First time for Portugal at the FIFA Confederations Cup. So we'll see how he does there, Andrew, because he's been really knocking the ball in left and right in all these matches.
Yeah, it's something to watch for sure.
What else is trending out there, Andrew?
Well, we talked yesterday about the congressional baseball game that was held last night at Nationals Park. Really moving moments with both teams, the Republicans and the Democrats, coming together for a moment of silence before the game to honor Congressman Steve Scalise, who's still recovering in the hospital from his gunshot wounds. The Republicans were able to take the loss, though, unfortunately for them. Democrats were able to take the game, I should say, 11-2. But the Republicans were able to take the trophy because the Democrats actually gave it to them to actually have in Scalise's office. So a really nice gesture.
Nice, very nice.
And record attendance, over 25,000 tickets sold to the game last night. It actually, and this is an amazing stat, higher attendance than 5 Major League Baseball games that were held last night. So it just goes to show how many people were there to support Congressman Scalise and in the wake of this shooting to raise money. I've seen figures over $1 million raised for charity from this baseball game last night. So really great work there at Nationals Park.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Have a good weekend, Andrew.
Thanks so much. You too.
And that wraps up the June 16th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Vasco Velarich. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the sunny side of sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
There has been a spike in violence in one of Africa's poorest and most war-torn countries, the Central African Republic, known as CAR. The United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs released a report this month saying that the frequency and brutality of attacks against communities have surged to levels last seen in 2014. Entire towns have been emptied, houses burnt down, and women and children brutally killed. The terrifying violence by armed militias in the CAR started in 2012 and intensified when a mostly Muslim rebel group, the Selaka, overthrew President Francois Bozize in 2013. Atrocities committed by the Selaka gave rise to a predominantly Christian group to counter it, the Anti-Balaka, which similarly committed untold human rights abuses. Sectarian attacks by each group against each other and against innocent civilians devastated the country. An accord agreed to in 2015 by the rival militias requiring them to disarm, as well as a presidential election in 2016, raised hope for a new and more peaceful future for the country. But many armed rebels did not disarm, and violence has continued and, as the UN has documented, recently escalated. The security situation in CAR deteriorated last month, leading to more than 300 people killed and over 100,000 displaced. In southeastern CAR, six peacekeepers from MINUSCA, the UN peacekeeping mission in CAR, were killed near the town of Bangassou. In the central town of Bria, violence between rebel groups resulted in thousands of civilians pouring into makeshift camps. The United States is deeply concerned by the recent violence. In a written statement, State Department spokesperson Heather Nauert said, "We strongly condemn these acts of violence and the targeted attacks against humanitarian actors, whose sole purpose in the CAR is to provide life-saving support to the population." Spokesperson Nauert wrote that the United States mourns the deaths of the UN peacekeepers as well. The security and support provided by MINUSCA are essential for the CAR to move beyond crisis, she noted. "We commend President Faustin Archange Touadéra and his government for their commitment to justice, the rule of law, and accountability for perpetrators of mass atrocities, including through the creation of the Special Criminal Court," said Ms. Nauert. "The United States fully supports justice and reconciliation, not only as measures for individuals who have suffered, but as essential steps towards building a peaceful and inclusive CAR."
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in. You will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Hello. This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
When news breaks, VOA News is there.
VOA.
Around the clock, listen to VOA newscasts on the top of each hour, along with our detailed news shows and analysis.
VOA News. We're online at voanews.com.
At voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.